Hi, this is PK, and thanks for listening to this highlight from Faith Radio Mornings. To hear this and other interviews, head over to faithradionet.com.
Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Ted. Hi, PK. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, that's good. Not in conflict at the moment, I hope.
No, I'm not, thank goodness.
Yes, well, this is a really helpful post, and I think this is something that can be effective, you know, information for anybody at any time, because the PK and I were just mentioning that it's likely that you're in conflict with somebody and to some degree in your life at this moment, whether it's a family member, coworker, casual acquaintance. You think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are individuals and we don't always agree on things, and sometimes we hate conflict, so we don't know how to bring it up because we hate fighting. And so I want to give people tools so that they can actually work through the issue and resolve it and not just fight or just be quiet and stew and resent it.
That's great. Well, let's jump in. There's 8 of them that you have posted here. We'll get to as many as we can today. What's the first one?
Well, the first one is, I think it's really important to if you're going to have a conflict about something or if you're fighting about something, it's really helpful if you define what you're fighting about, because so often, you know, sometimes you're just fighting because you're crabby, and that's a whole different thing. But if you have something that you're disagreeing about, say, you know, we're going to talk about vacation, or we're going to talk about the finances, or we're going to, you know, don't bring everything in the kitchen sink into the argument, or what's going to happen is it's just going to deteriorate and you're just going to have hurt feelings. You're not going to really get anywhere. So define what you're talking about and stick to the issue.
I know one time my husband and I was just like arguing with him about something that wasn't even important. And then it came down to like the real issue was like he didn't clean something up or didn't take the garbage out when I had asked him to or something like that. And he's like, what did that have to do with the other thing? And I said, absolutely nothing. And then we're laughing, you know, eventually, because it's like, well, that was really stupid. But that's so important to define the problem, the real problem.
And you probably have. Sorry, go ahead, Leslie.
Yeah, just the real problem. I think sometimes we, you know, we're afraid to talk about the real problem. You know, we're hurt about something, or we've found out something that's upsetting us, or, you know, we feel we need to, you know, set some boundaries on something, and we don't want to talk about it because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or we don't want to, but it just keeps squirting out sideways, you know. Irritating little crabbinesses that come upon us, and we think, you know, we're not really talking about the problem, but we're constantly getting in fights.
So stick to define the problem or conflict to be discussed, and then stick to the issue. That's number one. And number two, I like this, when possible, plan the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's not always possible. Sometimes, you know, you just have a fight, and, you know, but if you know there's a touchy issue, if you know, look, our bank balance is overdrawn for the third time this month, or you know that, you know, your mother-in-law is coming and you do not like her and you need to talk about some boundaries, you know, then you need to plan the time and place, because, you know, if someone's tired or they're hungry, it's usually not a good time to engage in an argument about something. And so if you can plan the time and place, and I love the story of Queen Esther, she knew that what she was going to bring up could potentially explode in her face. And so she really planned the time and the place in which she was going to bring up the issue. And even at the banquet the first time, if you recall the story, she didn't feel like the time was right. And so she invited him to the next night for another banquet. And so I think it's really important, if we want to get good resolution and we want to be heard on something that's a touchy issue, plan the time and place.
I think she was wise, too, because she knew that if it went along with food, it would go better.
Yeah, that's good. So go out to eat and have a fight in public. That's also another point.
And we've done that even with our family when we've wanted to talk about some things that are, you know, where we just need to get down to details. We need to, it's something that in the house, oh, I've got to go do this, and they get distracted. But we've gone out to eat and then just really, you know, pinpointed that one thing. So the time and the place are really important. How about listening? How important is listening when you're going through these conflicts?
Well, you know, I think it's so important, because I think oftentimes what I hear couples saying to me when they're having a lot of fighting is, nobody hears me. Nobody hears me. And so I think that even if you can't agree at the end of the day, if the person really feels heard, the relationship stays intact. So that you can agree to disagree, but the person feels like you heard them out, you really understood their perspective, you have different perspectives or different feelings on things, but that they felt heard. And the Bible tells us to be, you know, quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And so I think that we really do need to listen. And sometimes we, you know, we're so busy thinking about our point of view or what we want to say or how we want to defend ourselves, we really don't listen to the other person.
Leslie Vernick, our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings today. We're talking about some ways to resolve conflict that are effective, that are healthy, and that are done in a way that will actually enhance your relationship with someone. We're going to continue with Leslie in a moment, taking your calls as well at 877-933-2484. That number again, 877-933-2484. We'd love to take your calls, and Leslie can offer some assistance, maybe do a little bit to a specific situation as well. We'll continue going through the 8 steps to resolving conflict, with Leslie Vernick. That'll be up in just moments here, Faith Radio.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
It's 6:47, Faith Radio Mornings, and PK here along with Ted. We're talking with Leslie Vernick about 8 steps to resolving conflict. Leslie is a counselor who has some great tips for us this morning on how to have those times when you don't always agree. And Leslie, you're talking about, we were just to recap real quickly for those that joined us, we're defining the problem, we're planning the time to maybe talk it all out, listening carefully to the other person's perspective. Those are the first 3. And then the 4th one, you're talking about a win-win solution. How do we do that?
Well, I think that involves some listening. And it does involve some compromise. You know, it's so interesting when I talk with couples who are fighting, oftentimes they're both right. They're just coming at it from a different perspective. It's not like there's a black and white, like one's clearly in the right, all of it, and the other one's clearly in the wrong. It's just different preferences or different ideas, like I want to go to the ocean and I want to go to the mountains for a vacation. Well, how do you aim for a win-win solution? How do you make a compromise that feels good for both of you? And it might be that this year you do one thing and next year you do another. It might be that you make a place that you both agree to go to. But it has to, at the end of the day, preserve your relationship. And the way that happens is when you feel heard and you feel understood and you feel like someone cares about your perspective and you work toward having a resolution that feels good at the end. And so I call it a win-win because even though if you don't even get your way, you feel like you're the one who was willing to compromise or willing to give up your position, not that you were forced to or you had no choice.
That's a great perspective. So aim for a win-win solution, number 4. Going on to the 5th one again, the steps here of resolving conflict with Leslie Vernick, our guest. This is committing to do no harm. You know, I like this too because oftentimes we hurt the most, the ones we love the most, unintentionally sometimes. Talk about this a little.
Yeah, you know, Romans 13:10 says that love does no harm. And I think that's really an important verse for us to think about because I think that oftentimes, you know, because we feel we're right or because we are so strong in what we want, we often are selfish and self-absorbed and we hurt the other person. Maybe we don't intend to, maybe we do intend to because we want our way so bad. But I think it's really important if we're going to go into a conflict, at least as we're preparing for it and all of that, is that we commit, you know, Lord, help me not to do harm. Help me to do good, and that we're going to resolve this conflict for good, not just to get my way. And so when we commit that ahead of time, it helps us to kind of prepare ourselves not to do that, even unintentionally.
But it's so easy when you're in that place, too, I think, when you're trying to figure out a solution, and yet you want your point to be heard, and you're really mad at the other person. It's tough not to, that rolls into the next point, too, about how do you temper what you're saying?
Well, that's right. And I think those are some of the things, those internal qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to work on us, self-control and learning, you know, not only to look out for your own interests, as Philippians says, but also for the interests of others. And our very natures are self-centered. We only look out for our own interests by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of maturing in as a human being and as a Christian is to say, I need to care about someone else's interest as much as I care about my own, especially if I'm married to this person, because I actually promised to do that. And so I need to commit to not harm that person. I love that verse in Proverbs where it says, she does her husband good, not harm. He trusts her to do him good, not harm, all the days of his life. And what a wonderful trust to have in a spouse, that I trust that they would never hurt me. That's a wonderful thing to trust in. And so to really tame your tongue and say, you know, I'm not going to say things that are harsh even if I have to say some hard words right now. I don't need to murder someone with my tongue.
Well, and even saying the right things, it's not just about that, because you can say the right things, but your body and voice tone can communicate something totally different. So that goes with it too, right?
Well, that's right. We can show a lot of contempt, you know, in our body language. In counseling, I often talk about that, because I'll observe that in a couple when they're talking. And they can say the right things, but their arms are folded, their eyes are rolling, their lip is curled, they're snickering, you know, they're turning their back. And so all those things communicate, I don't care about you, I don't want to listen, I don't want to hear your perspective, you're not saying anything that means anything to me. And that's not what we want to do if we really want to resolve a conflict.
It sounds familiar with my two daughters sometimes when they're trying to resolve conflict. Say, you're sorry. I'm sorry. You know, and I can relate to that. So,
how about if you're just too upset to really deal with it right now? What do you suggest?
You know, I think that requires a bit of self-awareness and humility to say, you know I can't respond well right now. I'm too mad. I'm too tired. I'm too upset about what's going on. I need time out. And I think that every couple should make some ground rules of when an individual says, I need a time out, I can't do this, that's honored and respected. And what often happens is the one who feels like they haven't been heard enough, you know, continues to chase after the one who wants a time out and says a few more things and a few more things, and then it begins to blow up into something really ugly. Because they feel like, oh, you're just avoiding the problem, and we're never going to finish this, and, you know, you always want to sweep things under the rug. And so I think the person who calls a timeout also has to be responsible to say, I'll get back to you on this in an hour or tomorrow, I promise, and do that so that there begins to build a trust that we're not going to just avoid conflict, we're not going to just sweep it under the rug, we're not just going to pretend it's not here anymore, but right now, I can't do this well.
Leslie, oftentimes a couple or a person in a relationship will cite the Bible passage that talks about not letting the sun go down on your anger. But if they need that break, how does that reconcile with that verse?
Well, I think that's a really good thing to do. But when it says that, it doesn't say resolve every conflict before you go to bed. What it says is before you go to bed, deal with your anger. And so I think that's sometimes when we need a time out, is we need time to kind of calm ourselves down, to deal with our anger, so that we're going to bed in a different frame of mind than we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Makes
so
sense,
I don't,
yeah.
Scriptures are saying that every conflict is resolved before you go to bed, but deal with your anger before you go to bed.
And to put a finger on that and just say it clearly, they say, look, I need to sleep on this tonight and reiterate your love for a person. I love you. We'll talk about this in the morning. I just need to rest right now.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, you might be really, you know, crazy about one thing at night, and in the morning you think, oh my gosh, I feel so differently about this, because sometimes you just need a good night's rest, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, and then your final point, Leslie, by the way, we're talking with Leslie Vernick about 8 steps to resolve conflict. What do you do when the other person just constantly breaks those rules and they just don't get it? They're not trainable. You're never going to get to that place where you feel like you can have that honest, open discussion. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I think it's really important, first of all, to understand that people influence us. And so when the scriptures tell us that, so when people break rules and overrule your boundaries and, you know, run roughshod over you, it's very tempting to just do the same thing back, to retaliate, because negative emotions as well as positive emotions are very contagious. And when we're in the presence of angry, contemptuous people, it stirs up those emotions in us as well, just like when you're in the presence of someone who's laughing heartily, you start laughing and you don't even know what you're laughing about. It's just contagious. And so it's really important, again, to be mindful of that. And, you know, scriptures tell us a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. And so when we respond anger to anger, it just creates more anger. And so when we can try to pull back and say, you know, I'm not going to treat you like you're treating me. I'm going to treat you like the kind of person I want to be. And I'm going to treat you in the way that I would like to be treated. You know, practicing that golden rule. Even when the other person doesn't do that to us, it doesn't mean we just allow them to beat us up verbally or have no boundaries. But it just means that we are conscious that we're not going to let them determine how we're going to behave. And I think that's a huge empowering tool that people need, especially when they live in high conflict marriages.
Oh, that's so good. When all of these points and tips are really helpful, I think, for us, and just good reminders for us, whether you're in marriage, whether you're single and dealing with friendships, anything like that. So
with your own kids, yeah, or coworkers, yeah, lots of ways you can apply these rules.
So, Leslie, thanks so much for pointing this out and for posting it. If anybody missed any of the 8 steps to resolving conflict, we have them available on our website via Leslie's post. Just go to faithradionet.com down on the right-hand side. You'll see that there. And there's also some good resources that Leslie has available at her website. It's leslievernick.com. You can just get to that as well through ours, faithradionet.com. You have a free webinar recording available, Leslie?
I do. On the topic, you know, oftentimes people think, oh, I don't think God wants me to be happy. He just wants me to be holy. And so I answer that question. Does God really want us to be happy? And what does that mean? And I give a webinar, and so I talk, and people can see pictures through that. And it's really helpful for them to understand how God does want us to be happy.
Another great resource there. Well, thanks for making that available to us, and for all your work in ministry, Leslie.
Thank you.